Buddha's enlightenment was his awakening, his understanding, his insight into the ultimate reality, into truth with a capital T.
Hello to all y'all out there. Dave Smith here. Just want to take a few minutes to say hello and to really say thanks for all of you who have been listening to this podcast for the last going on 5 years now. When I travel and when I teach, whether it's a day long or a retreat or just a drop-in class, I do my best to try to record a lot of this stuff because I know a lot of you find yourself in places where you really don't have access to teachers or Dharma communities. And I do apologize that some of the audio is better than others. And I'm trying to really up my game with the audio here, so you'll be hearing some new stuff coming out. But I wanted to share with you this course that I've been working on for really a couple of years now. Many of you know that I teach Buddha Dharma, I teach mindfulness, and really everything associated with the early Buddhist tradition, all of the teachings found in the Pali Canon. But I'm also a huge fan, and I really find teaching mindfulness in a secular context has been really, really valuable and important to me. As much as I love the early Buddhist tradition and some of the ideas we see in the early canon, a lot of this stuff doesn't really translate to the modern world. Some of these Pali terms are quite puzzling, and some of the ways mindfulness is taught is really quite confusing. I know that I've struggled with some of it for going on 30 years now. Also, I'm a huge fan of Stephen Batchelor, as you probably know. I have an organization called the Secular Dharma Foundation. And here I just want to say a few words about what that means to me and why I chose to call this course that I've developed a Secular Mindfulness Practice and Education course. First and foremost, when we look at the word secular and its most early root, is it really comes from this Greek word seculum, which literally means this age, this era, this time. We could even say this present moment. And so my goal has always been for this practice and this Dharma to really have a really positive and constructive impact on the quality of the lives that we live. Busy people living in the modern world, probably none of us are going to become monks, shave our heads and put on the brown robes. We deal with money, we deal with the internet, we deal with mortgages and car payments and traffic. We deal with all kinds of conflict. We deal with racism and sexism and all of the crazy shit that goes on in this world right now. And so how can we have a practice that is relevant to the conditions that we find ourselves in? So when I say secular in the first sense, that's really what I'm talking about. This world, this time, this place, things as they are for us. And dropping any of that ancient or religious associative baggage that comes with belief systems, dogma, orthodoxies, and really all religion in general. Also, the reason I wanted to make a secular mindfulness course is, as much as you've heard me use these words in the past, all these Pali terms, all these different ways of talking about our experience, I wanted to challenge myself to see if I could actually offer a course using my own voice, my own language, and using the ideas and the lexicon of the modern English language that we all share. So I don't use any Pali terms. I don't use any Buddhist lexicon in this course. And I think that that's going to be really helpful to a lot of us who maybe are stuck in that paradigm, who are feeling like we cling to or we're stuck with and we're locked in this language of Satipatthana, this language of early Buddhism, these tricky words like Vedana for feeling, Chitta for mind. So I wanted to give a really concrete, really easy to understand, thorough, instructive course on the application of mindfulness, the theory of mindfulness, and really the history of mindfulness and where mindfulness comes from in a secular sense. And of course, no big surprise, it really comes from the Buddhist tradition. We have much thanks to really offer to Lady Sayadaw in the early 1900s for secularizing and bringing Vipassana meditation to lay people, taking it out of the monastery and into the streets of Burma. So here in this course, what I've done is I really try to bring a wider perspective on mindfulness, not more narrow, but actually wider. So when we think about mindfulness practice historically, we usually find ourselves trapped in the mind-body problem. We have the mind, we have the body, we have the mind, we have the body, mindfulness of breathing, mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of the mind, which you've probably heard me talk about, is not that helpful. So what I've done in this course is I've broken down mindfulness into four core components: body, mind, emotion, and relation. And when I say body, what I use the term somatic. I take a page from Peter Levine and all of the people who have done a bunch of kick-ass work in trauma therapy over the last many years, is that we want to bring awareness to our somatic experience, which is not just our body. It's our body, our breath, our nervous system, our sense organs, everything that we experience in the totality of our physical somatic sense. So there's a whole section and activities and modules on the somatic component of mindfulness, all of the different skills that we develop in the somatic component: focused attention, sensory clarity, self-regulation. These crucial skills that we can bring to the busy and crazy moments of our lives that we actually find ourselves in. I also have the mind component, which I call the cognitive component. Mostly, I think that's the word that best describes what goes on in that part of our experience, the cognitive process. Also, I take a page out of Bhikkhu Bodhi in his comprehensive manual on Abhidharma, his overview of citta, and understanding that citta actually means the entire cognizing process, the entire perceptual mechanism that we filter experience to, the world makes sense to us, our mind states, our attitudes, our thoughts, our mental activities, everything that goes on in our cognitive function. We have two whole activities and sections dedicated to this. A lot to be learned, a lot to be understood. And also, I found over the years that a lot of times people get stuck on the breath. We get stuck on the body. We sometimes think that bringing mindfulness to our thoughts and to the internal workings of our mind is some kind of advanced practice, which I do not believe is true. I feel like you can start learning this stuff right at the beginning, right out of the gate. That brings me to the next component. So we go from the somatic component to the cognitive component to the emotional component. Now, as you've probably heard me say before, one thing that's interesting about the modern world is that the way that we think of emotion as English-speaking folks, there's no term in Tibetan, Chinese, Thai, Pali, Sanskrit. None of the traditional Buddhist languages have a term that means anything like emotion, the way that we think about it, and the way that the science of emotions and Paul Ekman and Danny Goleman and my good friend Eve Ekman, these people have really, really got this stuff worked out to a science. And bringing mindfulness to the world of our emotions is really, really the best place for us to make the changes and to make the choices and to improve the quality of the life that we're living here now. So I'm super stoked on this component. There's some great videos in there. There's some great guided meditations and a lot of just really solid educational material that I think you'll enjoy. And that brings me to the last component, which I call the relational component. And I take a page from my good friend, Deborah Edenthal, who wrote the killer book, Relational Mindfulness, that's sitting right here in front of me on my shelf. Check out that book if you haven't read it. But really, how do we cultivate a practice of mindfulness that we see the relationships that we have to ourselves and the relationships we have to others and ultimately the relationships that we have to this world? So here we see a lot of Brahmavihara practice, for those of you who are familiar with that language, although I don't use it in the course, but kindness, compassion, gratitude, equanimity, these ideas are fully teased out, looking at them from a moment-to-moment perspective, looking at what science has to say about that. A lot of great, rich information in there. A lot of really, really solid practices. Cultivating kindness, compassion, gratitude, and equanimity for self and other. So this course, Secular Mindfulness Practice and Education course, has over 3 hours of guided educational video. It has hours of guided mindfulness practices, very specific practices for each component. There's over 26 guided meditations. There's over 60 pages of text to be read where all this stuff is outlined. And also there's a lot of really great links to external web-based links, videos that have already been out there that I've been collecting for years by other people in the field, people like Alan Wallace, Dan Goleman, Paul Ekman, Joseph Goldstein, Eve Ekman, all the people who really know what the hell they're talking about. So there's a link. You can see the link here, whether you're on Spotify, whether you're on Simplecast, whether you're checking this out on iTunes. Please take a look. Just click the link. You can read a little bit more about the class. There's a little video of me talking more about it. But I wanted to really reach out to all of you. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're doing. I've probably met some of you. Probably haven't met a lot of you. But I do appreciate you supporting my teachings and listening to the podcast. And it really inspires me to keep doing the work that I do. Every time I hit record on the iPhone when I'm teaching a class, often I think to myself, why am I doing this? Ain't nobody listening to this shit. But if I look at the statistics in my Simplecast, that simply is not true. So right now I'm recording this in the time and era of this coronavirus that we're in. You're probably all at home right now doing some quarantine, taking a break. I hope you're taking advantage of this space to have some contemplative practice and some inner focus. And just know that I'm in this with you in this moment. I'm sitting here in my office upstairs in rural Colorado. And I just wanted to get this message out there. I wanted to get this information about this online course. Also, it's a tremendous way to really support me and my family and the work that I do. I do mostly survive on Donna and generosity, which is risky, risky business in this world. So I don't make any money. I don't charge any money for this podcast, and I don't intend to in the future. But if you have $89, that's what the course is. Very, very cheap, reduced rate. I want to make it available to everybody. It's $89. It would support me in the work that I do, and I think that you'll get a lot out of this course. You can also connect with other people in the course or not, depending on what your feeling is about that. And of course, please stay in touch. Hope to see you out there on the path someday. You can always check me out on Facebook and Instagram and all the various web-based channels. And again, just a big shout out to all y'all. I really appreciate all the support and much love to all of you out there. And I hope that you find yourself in some ease and gratitude and compassion, equanimity in this moment, whatever it is that you're faced with. And so with that, I'm going to hit the road. I'm going to go downstairs and see what's going on with my family, finish up my coffee, and watch the sun go down.
So what is meditation? It's not what you think.
You think of the word rain, recognition, acceptance, interest, and non-identification.
We learn to recognize awareness or mindfulness as an easeful and natural state of mind.